So here we are, we're gathering on the eve of the day that we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth. Here we are, Christmas Eve. And for us followers of Jesus Christ, this is truly a celebration. And I was thinking just in the last month of all the highlights that we have experienced. A couple weeks ago when Pastors Dee and Danny led the children in 365 Days of Christmas, we had a full house and smiles never came off of our face as the choir and the puppets did a fantastic, amazing presentation. Amen? Were you here? Yes, you can thank them. You can thank them. And then last Sunday evening was a huge highlight for us as the canyon gathered, our churches gathered, and we worshiped the King of Kings and filled this house with praise. That is heaven on earth. That was a huge highlight. I was able to squeeze in a little trip over to Storybook Land in Albany with my grandson Lewis, which was very, very fun. Pastor Dee and Danny invited us to be part of their party that they did for their kids helpers, their Lighthouse Kids helpers and volunteers. We had a wonderful time of food and fun and fellowship and stealing gifts from one another. It was so fun. And precious Janice never got her gift stolen from her because she clung to it. She clung to that little angel because it had her name all over it. But that was wonderful laughs, wonderful memories. And this week, the board and staff here, we got to, again, exchange gifts and fun and fellowship and delicious food at Drexler's Farm Restaurant. We were invited to other things that just filled our hearts with good, fond memories with friends and family this season. Last week, if you were not here, I so encourage you to either put down on that blue form that you'd like a copy of Pastor's sermon in CD form, or you can go on our website and listen to Pastor's message, "For This Cause I Was Born." An absolutely wonderful message talking about making Christ our King and the fact that the King of Kings came so that we could have life to the full through all that we go through. It was fantastic. I'm thinking that you probably have some fond memories too, some things that you've done, family tradition. But this season was also a time that we said goodbye to some very, very, very precious ladies. About a month ago, we said goodbye to Shirley Peters. And a couple weeks ago, Shirley Bradley. Thank you. A couple weeks ago, we said goodbye to Ruthie Hollers. And this week we said goodbye to Dorothy Peters. She's been at Marion Estates the whole time Pastor and I have been here as your pastors, but we would visit her, and she's the oldest member. She would have been 94, the 4th of February. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for you. She would pray the alphabet by countries. So she'd pray an A country, a B country, a C country, and all the missionaries in those countries. And I could go on and tell you precious memories that we have with little Ruthie, the laughter and the joy that she brought us, and sitting with Shirley Bradley and telling stories and hearing about her life and singing with all of them, all three of them. We say goodbye to them, and that's a loss for us. It's their gain, amen? It's their gain, but it's our loss. It's our loss. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ planned this service so we could celebrate the comfort that he brings to the brokenhearted. Because we've lost this year. Many of us have lost. And we're holding on to that through this time. And it makes it more grievous than not. But we have a Holy Spirit that said, "I will comfort you. I will carry you. I will be near you. I will be with you." And I know as a loving family, you're here to offer love and support, amen, and comfort. Jesus, our great comforter, will not disappoint. He is Emmanuel, which is God with us. This morning, I'd like us to bow in prayer once again and just prepare our hearts, prepare room in our hearts for him to do amazing things. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have sung songs, carols, choruses, worship to you. And in that we sang, let every heart prepare him room. And that's what we choose to do today. We've come into this place. We've gathered in your name. We know what season it is. And we can put on the smiles and we can enjoy the hugs. But you alone know the condition of the heart. And I'm asking you, by your amazing presence, to heal our hearts today, to touch our hearts today, to lift our spirits today as only you can. But in order to do that, we need to let go and let you and allow you. So I just pray for willing hearts, Lord, and willing minds to just see what you could do. Just take a risk and give it to God today. And I know that you will not disappoint because you're faithful. Thank you. I pray this so that you would be glorified, so that we would all know Jesus is alive in my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. So have you ever had a time when you are physically here, but your mind is a million miles away? Okay. You're going through the motions, but you're not really here. You put on the happy face, but even when it comes to carols and songs and worship, we can just be giving lip service or be an automatic pilot. Anybody? Yeah. We can do that. We can go in autopilot because of the condition of our heart or where our mind is, thinking about yesterday or today or what we've got to get done. We cannot really be present. But only God, only Christ knows that. Only he can really know that heart's condition. Well, I thought we would just test this theory because I think there's times that we do disconnect. We're here, but we're disconnected to what the Lord is saying, to what we're singing, to what he wants to do. And I don't want us to miss out. I want us to stay connected today. Holy Spirit has a time of healing to offer us. So I'm going to read through the lyrics of O Little Town of Bethlehem. And think how many times we've sung these songs. I was privileged to be at Mahama Community Church this week when they had their candlelight carols. And we sang, I'm sure, a dozen carols. All those verses, all those choruses. But I thought, how many times is it just, we just do it because we know them and we just go through it because we're so used to going through the motions but not being connected. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Wow. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Did you catch that? God imparts to our human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in, meek, humble, bless me. I want him. I want him. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. What a prayer. That's it. Could that truly be our heart's cry this morning? Oh, come to us, Emmanuel. Abide with us. Your kingdom, your glory in us? Oh, yes. The kingdom of God is his righteousness, his peace, his joy in the Holy Spirit. It's for us. It's for me. It's for you. This beautiful promise is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'm going to read it out of the voice paraphrase. Hope of all hopes, dream of our dreams, a child is born, sweet-breathed. A son is given to us, a living gift. And even now, with tiny features and dewy hair, he is still great. The power of leadership and the weight of authority will rest on his shoulders. His name? His name will know in many ways. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Dear Everlasting, Ever-Present, Never-Failing, Master of Wholeness, Prince of Peace. The hope of the world, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, has come to set us free. Christ needed a place to be born. He needed a humble home, a Bethlehem. He is attracted to humility. He opposes the proud, but he's attracted to a humble heart. That says, I need you every hour, every breath that I take, every moment that I'm awake. I need you. He is so attracted to that heart. So why don't we consider making our heart his Bethlehem, a place where he can come and be born? Why don't we consider making our heart vacant for him today? Whether you've been a follower of Jesus as long as you can remember, or you're still on a path, a journey to find that full relationship with him, could you put a vacancy sign out today for more of him, for all of him? There's a wonderful video that I'd like to share with you. Be born in me. Make my heart your Bethlehem. Let there be a vacancy in my heart for more. Anybody, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody, let's not hold back. You want more? You want your heart to be a vacancy for all that Christ, the Son of the living God, has to offer? Amen. Be born in me. Open the doors of your heart this day and make room for him. This is what he offers to us. Christ is to come to be our wonderful counselor. Anybody ever have a question? He's got answers. Anybody ever need guidance or wisdom? Yes, of course. He's the mighty counselor. Not a counselor, the mighty counselor. Seek the Lord and you will find him. For he is all-knowing, all-wise, all-seeing, all-loving, mighty counselor. Don't go to the phone. go to the throne. You're getting it. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? Remember, the person you're talking to, they don't even know what to do with their life. They don't even know how to answer their own question. And you're asking them how to handle your stuff? Right? Right? Hello. Okay. So don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. The mighty counselor. Yes. Okay. He is our mighty God. So, is there anything too hard for him? But what about my situation? What about my stuff? Am I the exception? Often I think we think God can heal you. He can touch your this. He can bless your that. But I'm the exception. Anybody? God's got this. You are not the exception to a mighty, wonderful counselor and God who says, with me, all things are possible. There's a great song that got stuck in my head years ago. It goes like this. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing, no thing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for thee. Let it get stuck. Repeat it. With God, nothing is impossible. With man, yes, but with God, no thing is impossible. He is Emmanuel, God with us, who imparts to human hearts the blessings of heaven. I talked to some of the kids before service this morning to see if they knew this song, and yes, they did, and may need to help me out with something here this morning. This great song says, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Right? You guys remember that? Where's Corinne? Of course they do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He made the trees, and he made the seas, and he made the elephants too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the skies are his handiwork too. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. When I was looking for the lyrics to that song, I found kind of an amped up version of it. The new and improved version. It says, my God is so big and so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. In the beginning, God made everything. God simply spoke and the world came into being. He sent a flood and he made everything new. He parted the sea and let the people walk through. He helped a boy to bring a giant right down. Joshua marched, the walls came tumbling to the ground. These acts of power are worthy of praise. But if you want to question my God and his ways, I will look you in the eye and I will say, what are we going to say, kids? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Though we are sinners, he still gives us worth. God sent his son to live here on this earth. He healed the sick. He made the blind man see. He let the lame walk. And he set the world free. He died on a cross. And he rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He is mighty to save. He went to heaven. And he's coming back. Amen. God's word is true, but if it's attacked, I'll look you in the eye and say, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. God the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. I want the world to know about my God. I want to live so the whole world can see that my heart is changed. I'm forgiven and new, as Dawn said this morning. If people need proof, may they see it in me. Let's look the world in the eye. Let's look them in the eye and say, can you do it with me? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He is our everlasting Father. He's eternal. He's always near. He's always present. And this day, he's especially near to the brokenhearted. Chris Tomlin wrote a very powerful song that we've sung and worshiped to here at Sandham Chapel. And it speaks of this Heavenly Father of ours. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. But I know we're all searching for answers only you provide. Because you know just what we need before we even say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, it's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. And it's peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. But he calls us deeper still into this love. Deeper still, deeper still, deeper still into this love. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. Can you say, it's who I am? It's who I am. I am loved by you. When we haven't had a good earthly role model and a father figure, there can be a serious disconnect on how we relate to our Heavenly Father. And this day, our everlasting Father longs to break the curse and the chains of bondage that have come from past abuse, past neglect, or abandonment. That's why we're making room in our hearts. This Christmas, our everlasting, ever-present, eternal, Holy Father is for us. His name shall be called Prince of Peace, John 14:26-27. But the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, Jesus said. He will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything that I have told you. Jesus goes on to say, peace, peace, peace I leave with you. It's perfect peace that I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. He is our peace to receive. We need to not let our hearts be troubled. We need to let go and let God. We have the power to meditate. We can think on things above, or we can worry. We can focus on the lies that Satan is saying to us. We can praise, or we can complain. We can complain and remain. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give you life to the full, in abundance, overflowing." I don't know about you, but I got a vacancy over my heart. Come on in. I want that. And I remember when I was about 31 or 2, being a PK, a preacher's kid all my life, and my emotions were like this, depending on my circumstances. I've known the Lord, loved the Lord, served the Lord, but I wasn't in abundant life, and I went on a search, and I said, "Lord, what is that all about? Is that when we get to heaven? Because I don't know abundance here and now. My emotions are just like this, depending on my circumstances. And I want to know your peace, and I want to know your joy that you said could be mine." Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? Because I'll tell you what, if you say, "I want abundant life, show me your peace," it's like a dare. I dare you. I dare you to give me joy in the midst of this. Peace in the midst of this. He'll take the dare. All due respect. He said, "When you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me." I was desperate. So I drew a circle around me and I said, "Revive what's in the circle." And I went on a quest. He has been faithful. I've known joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've had to pull over my car because the presence of God intoxicated me. And I want nothing less than that for you. And I want even more. And I want more for you. I want us to know the fullness that He died for. Amen? Not in part, but in full. He is here to give us freedom from sin, freedom from bondage. So kids, tell me, what do you think is the most, one of the most traditional candies at Christmas? Corinne. Chuckalaka, the woman is brilliant. Candy cane. And is that what you were thinking? Jackson, you guys were thinking candy cane. Okay. Well, here is a story of the history and some legends about the candy cane. Legend has it that in 1670, the choir master at the Cologne Cathedral in Germany handed out sugar sticks among his young singers to keep them quiet during the long living ceremony. Just quiet. In honor of the occasion, he had the candies bent into shepherd's crooks. In 1847, a German-Swedish immigrant named August Imgard of Wooster, say Wooster, it's kind of like rooster, only Wooster, Ohio, decorated a small blue spruce with paper ornaments and candy canes. It wasn't until the turn of the century that the red and white stripes and peppermint flavors became the norm. In Indiana, a candy maker wanted to make a candy that would be a reminder of Jesus Christ. So he made the Christmas candy cane. He started out with a stick of pure hard candy. The white color symbolized the virgin birth and the sinless nature of Jesus. The hard candy symbolized the solid rock, which was the foundation of the church, and the firmness of the promises of God. The candy maker made the candy in the form of a J, which represented the name of Jesus, and in the staff of the Good Shepherd. He then stained it with three stripes, which showed the scourging Jesus received and symbolizes the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross. When you break the cain, it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us. Today after our service, Pastors Dee and Denny have a special gift for you, Lighthouse kids, that you're not going to want to miss out on. Meet him over at the Welcome Center. They have a special bag of treats just for you, and I think you might find one of those Christmas candy canes in there. Jesus had a purpose. It wasn't just to be memorialized as a baby in a manger, but he humbled himself. Jesus was born to die. And it was through his death and his resurrection that he came to give us purpose and destiny and freedom and hope and peace and joy. This last video I'm going to share before we take time to celebrate what God has provided in bringing us peace in a difficult time. And this video just speaks to this, that he came not only to be born as a baby, but to be our Savior that died and rose. He's here with us. He could have left us on our own, but he's here. He's here. Oh, the joy that he has come, Emmanuel, to be with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was so strong on my heart to remember today. To remember. You may have lost a long time ago that special family member, or it may be very all too fresh. But when that loss occurred, something happened in my heart. There was a hole. Kind of a cloud, maybe. Things weren't the same. We're going to remember those that we have had to say goodbye to in the lighting of a memorial candle. But I want to also suggest that we do this morning. We say there's a vacancy in my heart. And Lord, I know there's a season for grieving, but I don't want to remain in the spirit of heaviness. I don't want to have that spirit latch hold of me for the rest of my life. I want to know your comfort and your joy, your presence. I want to know that you can come because I've got this vacant place for you to heal my brokenness. I'm going to go over to the piano and Pastor and I are just going to offer some worship. You're welcome to sing. The lyrics will be overhead. But we want you just to feel the freedom to now come and light a single candle, remembering those that are no longer with you, in their memory, in their honor. But as you light it, I want you also to think, this is my heart. The light has gone out. There is no flame. The passion is gone. The hope is gone. The joy is gone. It's just gone. But would you, by the light of your presence, fan a flame in my heart today? Would you light in my heart hope today? This is for you as well. There's different ways you may do this. These taper candles are hooked right in here, and you can turn that and light a candle. And if you don't feel comfortable using that, you can use these starters and just do it that way. We ask that if children are coming, that they would be supervised by an adult. But would you just allow yourselves right now, in this time of reflection and of honoring and remembering, be open to what the Lord has to do.